Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. I'm Grant Reher. My guest today is Tedra Cobb. She's the Democratic challenger to Republican incumbent Congresswoman Elise Stefanik in New York's 21st Congressional District. This is a rematch. Ms. Cobb ran against Stefanik in 2018. Ms. Cobb has prior political experience in the St. Lawrence County Legislature. The 21st District covers what is generally referred to as the North Country. It includes most of the Adirondack Mountain and Thousand Island regions. Watertown is its largest city. In the coming weeks, I hope to have Congresswoman Stefanik on the program as well. But for now, Ms. Cobb, welcome back to the Campbell Conversations.
Thank you so much. Thank you for letting me be here.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to be on. So let me just start with a basic introductory question for our listeners. It's been 2 years since you've run. What's been going on with you the last 2 years?
Sure. So I have continued to listen to people and to hear what their concerns are and their challenges are. You know, I'm running for Congress because I've spent 30 years working with our community and to make and working with Northern New York families to make our lives better. And right now, Washington is dysfunctional. It isn't helping our region. And Congresswoman Stefanik is part of the problem.
You know, let's get into that a little bit because, you know, you're the challenger. So a lot of your campaign is going to be about necessarily about drawing contrasts. So let's focus on the incumbent here. And I want to ask you what actions and votes has Elise Stefanik taken in the past 2 years in particular since you ran against her previously that are most concerning to you?
So first and foremost, I'm in this race because of health care. Elise Stefanik voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act without a replacement. That would have kicked 64,000 people in this district alone off their health care. It would have ended protections for people with pre-existing conditions. And you know, I am here because my daughter has a pre-existing condition. Many people don't know that she has degenerative disc disease. And so as a mom, you know, in her senior year of high school, she had emergency back surgery. And I had insurance at the time. A month later, I lost my job. We lost our insurance. When Elise Stefanik voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act, I knew it was time for me to run again. Like you said, I was a county legislator. So I'm here because I understand healthcare from a professional point of view, but also as a mom. And you asked about what have I been doing, listening to families and their stories. I understand because I've lived here and I've worked here, and we need a voice who understands families here.
Are there other policy areas outside of healthcare that are most central to your campaign? I mean, I know there are a lot of things you could talk about, but are there maybe one or two others that are most important to you?
Absolutely. So Elise Stefanik voted against a prescription drug plan that would have capped out-of-pocket costs for seniors and would have allowed Medicare to negotiate prescription drug prices. That is crucially important here. Protecting Social Security and Medicare. Since COVID, we've made over 775,000 calls and to people in this district and had conversations. Healthcare, Social Security, and Medicare are crucially important. And I want to just remind people that Elise Stefanik wrote the plan to privatize Social Security and turn Medicare into a voucher program. Can you imagine privatizing Social Security and gambling it on the stock market? I will never cut a dime from Social Security or Medicare or gamble people's future.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, and you just brought it up, but particularly about Medicare and Social Security, because I was reading through your website, and that is, I think, a featured criticism and claim that you're making, that Congresswoman Stefanik has tried to cut Medicare and Social Security, and you just spoke about her being one of the principal architects of the Republican plans to change that program dramatically. Are there any other specific actions, particularly again in the last 2 years, that she has taken that demonstrate to you that she does want to cut Social Security and Medicare?
Well, she supported a balanced budget amendment, and that would gut Social Security and Medicare. And she's also voted to cut by trillions of dollars funding for cut funding by trillions of dollars for Social Security and Medicare.
Okay, so it's in the balanced budget vote that you really are focusing that criticism, then, if I understand that.
Yes.
Okay. So you have also made a lot of the congresswoman's support of President Trump. And, you know, on the one hand, he's a Republican president. She's a Republican. It's going to be necessary for her to work to some degree with the president since they're both in the same party. But are there certain instances of her support for President Trump that you are most concerned about or that you would find the most egregious?
Well, I can give you an example. You know, Elise Stefanik has supported a lawsuit against the Affordable Care Act. And that lawsuit is now at the Supreme Court. That is what we're talking about here, cutting the Affordable Care Act or repealing the Affordable Care Act, kicking 64,000 people off their health care and ending protections for people with pre-existing conditions. Here we are facing a pandemic. 5.4 million people have lost their insurance. Tens of thousands of people are signing up for the Affordable Care Act every day. This has highlighted the deficits in healthcare.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with the Democratic candidate for Congress in New York's 21st District, Tedra Cobb. I want to talk a little bit about the president. Your district, the 21st District, has a lot of voters who are going to vote to reelect him. Do you have any particular message to those voters in terms of why they should split their ticket to vote for you, given how critical you have been of President Trump?
Well, I'll tell you, when he ran his first campaign, he said everyone will get health care and it's going to be cheap. So I'd say if there are issues that we can work on that help our families, then I'll work with the president on those issues. But I'll speak up when the president is doing things that might harm our families, as I would with anyone.
And what are the things in terms of either rhetoric or policies or initiatives that the president has taken in the last 2 years that concern you the most?
Well, you asked about Elise Stefanik and tying her herself to Trump. You know, Stefanik has time to go to Tulsa and to Iowa and to travel around, but not time for us. And I think one of the things that has come up recently that's really important is national security. You know, not only has Elise Stefanik been absent from her job, she's missed months of Intelligence Committee hearings, but she's also refusing to stand up for the lives of American troops. If Stefanik can't be counted on to represent the best interest of soldiers at Fort Drum, then her time in Congress needs to end. And this isn't just the first time that she's been silent on matters of national security. When the president held talks in Afghanistan with the Taliban, Congresswoman Stefanik was silent. When it was reported that Donald Trump asked the Chinese president for help with his reelection, Elise Stefanik remained silent. When the president called for Russia's readmittance to the G7, Stefanik remained silent. You know, CNN reported that intelligence officials believe Trump's interactions with foreign leaders is a national security, and yet Stefanik remained silent. So she's got time to go to Tulsa. She had time to jet off to Iowa, but she's not here. She is not able to find the time to worry about the lives of American heroes, and that there is no excuse for.
A little bit later, I want to come back to Fort Drum, talk to you a little bit about that. But I wanted to ask a different question now. kind of related, I think, in some ways to the president, at least in terms of the issue. But we're speaking on a Tuesday here, and this story may evolve in the meantime. But I wanted to give you a chance to talk about something that was reported today in the news about this conflict in Waddington, the town of Waddington in your district, between the mayor there and the organizers of a public event to express support for the police. My understanding is the Stefanik campaign is claiming that your campaign was behind an effort to either curtail or shut down that event. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, we all support law enforcement, and this shouldn't be a politically divisive issue, and Stefanik shouldn't make it one. I believe the mayor was clear in his remarks yesterday on this issue. The campaign did not participate in any derailment of this event.
And where do you stand on this notion of defunding the police? That has been something that a lot of Republicans have been pushing Democrats on.
Sure, I do not support defunding the police.
Okay. And what about the Black Lives Matter movement and the protests that we are seeing? What do you make of that, and how do you come down on those issues?
I support people's right to peacefully protest. The death of George Floyd should not be politicized, but rather we should be working and listening to make people's lives better and to listen to what's happening in our communities. You know, let's talk about what's happening in the Black community and why these are issues. We know that COVID now, that, you know, Black Americans have three times more likely chance of contracting COVID and sadly three times more likely chance of dying. We know that Black women have four times more likely chance to die in childbirth. When we look at environmental issues, Black children or children growing up in minority communities have five times more likely chance of having asthma or having lead poisoning. And we see it in Flint and we see it in New Orleans. So Black lives matter, but also the quality of their lives must matter.
Mm. You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Tedra Cobb. She's the Democrat hoping to unseat incumbent Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik in this November's elections in New York's 21st Congressional District. Well, I wanted to come back to Fort Drum. You had mentioned that in the first part of our conversation. And it's related in some ways, again, to the incumbent's relationship with the president, because she brought the president there. And the Congresswoman has been, I think, presenting herself and I think legitimately in many respects a very active supporter for the base, and the base is obviously an important economic anchor for the district. Are there aspects of her work on behalf of Fort Drum, or perhaps things, as you intimated earlier, that she didn't do that you would have liked to have seen her done, that you'd take issue with or that you'd do differently?
Yeah, I take issue with the national security aspect. You know, these troops need to know that their congresswoman will have their backs. And instead of speaking up and instead of being present for, she's missed 6 months of Intelligence Committee hearings. If she cannot do her job, or 4 months, excuse me, I misspoke there, 4 months of Intelligence Committee hearings, if she can't do her job or doesn't want to do her job, then she doesn't deserve the job.
So what about Fort Drum more specifically, though? Because it is such a magnet issue there in the district. Do you see things about the way that she has gone about supporting and trying to get funding that you might do differently?
I think probably we agree a lot of the work on Fort Drum, all of us in this community. You know, I live in St. Lawrence County, and as a county legislator through the Fort Drum Regional Liaison Committee, you know, we did work with Fort Drum because it has an impact not just in Jefferson County, but all the way up into St. Lawrence County. So I think, furthering the support for troops, for their families, for education, for their children, for healthcare. All of those things are crucially important and things I hope to work on.
Do you have any sense more generally of the incumbent's constituency service? Do you see gaps in that you are concerned about?
In general, I think what I hear from people is she's got time to travel around the United States, raising money for other candidates, traveling around with the president, but she shows up here for photo ops.
Well, let's talk about COVID. It's obviously a huge issue. It may prove to be the driving issue in the November elections. It's looking that way. How would you evaluate the federal government's handling of the pandemic so far?
So here we are, 4 months into this pandemic, and we still don't have a federal response. This is a leadership failure on the federal level, and those like Stefanik have sat by and let it happen, and they should be held accountable in November. Now, the pandemic has shed a momentous spotlight on the deficits in our healthcare system. COVID-19 did not create these gaps, but it's magnified them on the national stage. So we need to focus on providing access to quality, affordable healthcare to everyone in the North Country. You know, we are facing monumental job loss that has resulted in 5.4 million people losing their employer-linked healthcare. This is serious. We need to reimagine healthcare in this country, and I believe that a public option will give us an opportunity for folks to buy into Medicare. We need to allow Medicare to negotiate prescription drug prices, and we need to protect people with pre-existing conditions like COVID-19 now and into the future.
So I'm hearing between the lines then that when it comes to healthcare, I guess we'll come back to that for just a second. Just want to make sure I have this clear. It does not sound like you are advocating a single payer type or Medicare for all type of system to replace what we have now, including Obamacare.
So I support a Medicare public option. So to put it simply, people would have the option to buy into Medicare. And if they want to keep their insurance, they would be able to do so.
Okay. And as far as COVID, the response to COVID goes, what specific things would you have liked to have seen the federal government do differently? Were there national mandates about mask wearing or social distancing? What would you have proposed?
I think first and foremost, we should have used the Defense Production Act. So we need to make sure that states have the PPE and the ventilators and the testing. That's an opportunity that the federal government could have led with and has not. We need to see in this next package of funding for county and local governments, schools. We need funding for schools so that they can safely reopen and that there are plans to keep education going.
If you just joined us,
if I could for one moment, it just science must lead us. This is an opportunity for us to say, what does the science say, and how should we react with science? It's a virus. It's not political.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. And my guest is Democratic Party congressional candidate Tedra Cobb. Well, that's the federal response to COVID. Do you see things working out differently at the state and local level? Your district, in large part, has been spared some of the levels of infection and death that we've seen in other parts of New York State. How do you think New York State did, and how do you think the 21st District did?
Well, first and foremost, I think that the state of New York has let science lead. And so we're in a good position. Northern New York especially has been allowed to reopen, but we've got to remain diligent and we've got to be prepared should we see a resurgence. So we need to make sure that we've got PPE and ventilators and enough testing in case there's a resurgence. And we've got to take care of one another by committing to wearing masks.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that because this is something I've been asking a lot of the candidates who've been on the program. But where I am living outside of Syracuse, I see a lot of non-compliance with the guidelines. And it makes me wonder what needs to be done differently. Would you be in favor of advocating something with a little more teeth in it when it comes to social distancing and mask wearing?
I think I want to start with thinking about who we are. I have a brother with lupus. So I think about him, not me. I have a healthy immune system. So this is where, if at the top, we said, here's, you know, I have to say, at the state level, right, we said in New York State, think about the other person. Pause and think about the other person and how do we protect the other people. And unfortunately, again, we're 4 months in and we're still having this debate about masks. And so we've got to think about how do we keep our communities safe so that we can reopen our economy, so that we can get businesses up and running, we can get restaurants back up and running. You know, we can make those small businesses successful. It's a huge challenge, but we've got to be committed to the science and to solving the problem together and not making it a partisan political issue.
I do want to ask you a couple questions at the end about some political issues, but let me ask one question first, and it follows on exactly what you just said, but it's about what we can do to help stimulate the economy. There's already been a ton of federal and state spending on this, and it looks like there'll be more. But in addition to what's already been done so far to stimulate the economy and help individuals and families cope with all of these financial hardships, are there certain additional measures that you would be in favor of, specific ones?
Yeah, so first and foremost, you know, we're going to circle back to healthcare because this is the number one cost that families face. If you lose your job, right, we've already talked about 5.4 million people losing their jobs. So, and signing up for the Affordable Care Act. Healthcare is the number one challenge that we face. The high cost of prescription drugs is a huge issue that we face every day. So healthcare, you know, I'm gonna circle back to healthcare because it's so crucially important. And by the way, having healthcare shores up our hospitals. When our COVID numbers are down, this is a good example, that means that our hospitals are able to do other healthcare. And people, what we're seeing is that people aren't going for their general healthcare needs. So these are challenges that we need to talk about, that we're facing, so that our hospitals can provide the care that we need. We need to think about our educational system, the colleges, if students are coming back. How do we support the colleges and keeping students safe so that the economic driver that is our universities are able to have students in our communities and then spending money in our communities, going to the stores, being able to buy things in our local community. The tourism industry, how do we ensure that our tourism industry is sound because those small businesses, we can't afford to allow them to lose not only this season, but another season or into the winter. These are all the things that we need to be thinking about, problems that we need to solve, and we need to solve them together and again, not politicize them.
Just have a couple minutes left, but I want to squeeze in a couple questions about politics. First one is about how you'll approach the job should you win under different circumstances. And the one I wanted to pose to you is, if the United States Senate does not flip to the Democrats and remains in Republican hands, and it's still quite possible that will happen, how would that affect your work in the House should you win? In particular, I'm wondering, will you be supporting a bunch of essentially one house bills that have no chance of passage to make symbolic statements? How are you going to organize your work effort there? Briefly, if you could.
Yeah. There's a saying, the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. I was a volunteer firefighter. Never once did we stop to say, is it a Democrat or Republican in the House? When I was a county legislator for 8 years, for 4 years I was in the minority, and we passed meaningful legislation, and I was part of that. For 4 years I was in the majority, and we passed a tough ethics law together. That experience is who I am. It's working with people in my community. Again, we've talked about healthcare. We've talked about solving problems. All of these things are not partisan issues. There are issues that we face every day. Whether it's a Democrat or Republican that loses a job, or a child becomes sick, or faces an opioid addiction and needs help, those are issues that we face every single day in the work that I've done in this community for 30 years. Helping families and making our lives better is the work that I'll bring to Washington.
And let me jump in there, because we only have literally a couple seconds left. But the last thing, and it seems like you may have already answered it, but if Donald Trump is reelected, will you be looking for ways to cooperate, or will this be 2 years of total opposition?
I will work with anyone at the local, state, and federal level to make progress for our region. I've done it for 30 years, and I hope to do that in Congress.
Well, that was Tedra Cobb. Tedra, I want to thank you again for taking the time to talk with me, and I also want to wish good health to you and your family.
Thank you, and the same to you.
You've been listening to The Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, conversations in the public interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.